Feast of Trumpets, Yom Teruah. Man, God's plan of salvation is revealed to us in his Sabbaths. And I really do think that's why a lot of times some of these people that write books on prophecy, not that everybody that keeps a holy day has all the prophecy down pat and has all the knowledge, but if you don't keep the holy days, you don't really have a clue of how this plan of salvation is working and how it lays out. And that's why you got all kinds of really wacko ideas of events that happen in the end times. But the creation week pictures the creation of this age. The feast days picture the different events that take place. Passover shows us the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, the role of that. Feast of Unleavened Bread is where we put the leavening away, which represents sin, and keep it out of our bodies. Pentecost is giving it a law. And the birth of the church in the wilderness, God's Holy Spirit being given out in mass to people. Feast of Trumpets, mistakenly called Rosh Hashanah, is a holy convocation, a commanded assembly, a celebration to God. That's why we're here today. The Feast of Trumpets pictures the return of Jesus. It's the first day of the seventh month of God's calendar in the month of Tishri. That's today. The number seven symbolizes a lot of things. It's a very important number in the Bible. And it wouldn't have been the thing to show, but if you've never seen the little short presentation I do on seven in the Bible, and how even in the first verse, Genesis 1:1, how it's embedded in the, and I'm not talking about, you know, Torah codes and things that are hidden. I mean in plain sight. And it's embedded in the entire Bible and how important it is. But the symbol also symbolizes perfection. It's woven into God's calendar. The Sabbath is observed on the seventh day of the week. Every seventh year is a sabbatical year. After seven sabbatical years, we have a jubilee year that's observed. 7 weeks after Passover is Pentecost. The Day of Atonement is the day that all sins can be forgiven and Satan's bound for 1,000 years. The Feast of Tabernacles lasts 7 days and pictures the millennium. The eighth day, the day after Tabernacles is over, is a feast that pictures a general resurrection after 1,000 years where the masses are given their chance for an opportunity for salvation. A chance to live in God's kingdom. Even this month now, it started last night at sundown, Tishri, the seventh month that contains more holy days than any other month of the year. It's an important month. We keep the feast because God commands us to, number one. Well, that's a good start. But Jesus observed them. The apostles observed them. The early church observed them and kept them after Jesus was crucified, resurrected, and had ascended into heaven. And most importantly, I think they all lead us to Christ, every single one of them. People think, oh, there's no meaning there, it's nothing for me. Every single one leads you to Jesus and what he did. Today, like I said, is the Feast of Trumpets. A lot of people call it Rosh Hashanah, which means the head of the year. They go on and say that the earth, the 7 days of creation, were in the fall of the year. They call it the birthday of the world. It's a tradition. I don't think it's true or accurate, but it's a tradition. One thing is blatantly false. It is not the head of the year. Not according to God's calendar. The Bible never calls this day trumpets. That's kind of interesting. Years and years ago when I heard that, we call it the Feast of Trumpets, but nowhere in the Bible does it call this day trumpets. I'll get into that just a little bit. You can get off into the weeds if you go too deep, but I just bring it up so everybody knows. In fact, it's called Yom Teruah. It's a day of rejoicing or shouting. What are you talking about? Of rejoicing or shouting? Teruah. Let me give you the definition up there. A clamor, an acclamation of joy, a battle cry, especially a clangor of trumpets. So it could be trumpets, but it doesn't specify trumpets. As an alarm, a blowing, joy, jubilee, loud noise, rejoicing, shouting, joyful. So, skip the example out of Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, verse 23, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing, teruah, of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." So let me ask you a question. How did Yom Teruah, a day of blowing or shouting, turn into Rosh Hashanah? Because it's a deeply held tradition, conviction for many. God's year begins in the spring. Creation begins in the spring. You really think he started creation and then everything started dying off in the fall? When the Jews went into captivity in Babylon, the calendar was very similar to God's calendar. In fact, all of the names of the month in Hebrew aren't known in the Bible. There are some in the Bible that are named, like Aviv for the first month, and also Nisan. Aviv is the Hebrew word for the month, and Nisan is the Babylonian. See, it worked basically the same way. They were so close that it's interchangeable. And people say, well, those are Babylonian names. Well, excuse me, but they're in the pages of your Bible. If it's okay to call them that name in the Bible, it's okay for us to call it by name too. And if there's a month that doesn't have a Hebrew name, it's unknown, then you don't have to say, oh, month number, whatever. But it worked the same way. It began with the sighting of a new moon. And it's not like September 17th. Now, how the heck do you get from September to 17th, the 17th day of the ninth month, to Tishri 1? There's no correlation there. It makes no sense. And that's why, to be honest, most of us, we got to walk around with a little pocket calendar to know when the holy days are, because there's no correlation between the Gregorian calendar and the God's calendar. So you kind of got to figure it out. And every year I sit down and I put 2-3 hours into making out the calendar, the Torah readings, the publishing it up on the internet for the year that's coming. But there was one big difference, though, in the two calendars. The Babylonian New Year was called Akitu, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correct or not, but it fell on the first day of the seventh month. Their year started in the seventh month. So that holdover of calling it Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, comes from the Babylonian custom, because that's when their year did start, was in the fall. But the months and everything worked the same. I wonder where they got all that from. I don't know, maybe in history there was some guy that was powerful and he was a leader. And he had an influence on their calendar. I can't think of anybody that was a leader in Babylon that knew God's ways. You know, the only guy I knew got thrown in a lion's den, or I didn't know him, but that I read about. But, you know, people say, well, that's a Babylonian, that's a pagan, evil heathen. And then they follow a Gregorian calendar brought to you by the descendants of the predecessors of the Catholic Church. It's Pope Gregory, for crying out loud, is the guy to come out with it. But anyhow, I don't get off on all of that. But this Jewish tradition has corrupted this festival by combining Babylonian traditions, much in the same way as American Jews have paganized Hanukkah by incorporating pagan traditions and giving presents for 8 days instead of, you know, it's I call it a Jewish Christmas. And a lot of Messianic groups get involved in Hanukkah and that, but they do, there's no giving of presents and all of this garbage. Hanukkah was a day that was celebrated, and then actually Jesus celebrated it himself. In John chapter 10, you can see that. Except that they don't tell you that. They said it was the Feast of Dedication. Well, what is dedication in Hebrew? Hanukkah! Can't let people know Jesus kept Hanukkah, so we'll camouflage it. But so do I acknowledge it, observe it? Yeah, but anciently, not like a counterfeit Christmas. And we don't have Hanukkah bushes in our house and things like that. Let's take a look at trumpets. Here it's described again. Numbers chapter 29, verse 1. And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. For you, it is a day of blowing the trumpets. Okay. Let's look at a time when Israel had not been faithful to God. They had forgotten his Sabbaths, all of them, the weekly, the land Sabbath, the Jubilees. And on the Feast of Trumpets, they did something. They read from the Bible. They read from the Book of the Law. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. It says, now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in the front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. That would be today. Then he read it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday, before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So he read it in front of everybody, and they were all listening, they were all interested, men, women, children, everyone. So I'm going to take part of this. Pick it up again in verse 8. And so this isn't a solemn occasion. This isn't the downer. And when we go into Teruah and what that means, and some of it, you'll understand why. In verse 8 it says, so they read distinctively from the law in the law of God, from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and they helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep. Now, there's a lot of things we all got to feel bad about, but this isn't one of the days to get caught up in a pity party, and throw a pity party and invite yourself as the guest of honor. They felt bad because they realized how far they had transgressed from God's law, but they corrected him and said, and they were crying and repenting from it. They said, don't feel like that on this day. That's not the purpose of this day. Going on, it says, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the book of the law. Verse 10, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So he's telling them, do not feel bad. Be happy. Be joyful. Oh, sorry, should have said something. Sorry about that. Verse 11. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. So here, making the point multiple times, this is not a day of sorrow, it's a day of rejoicing. Verse 12. And all the people went their way to eat and drink and send portions and rejoice greatly. It's a day of partying, having fun, because they understood the words that were declared to them. So if we can understand these words today, if you weren't feeling all that happy before, you know, there's a song, maybe I should have tried to find it and download it. Be happy, I can't remember all the words. Yeah, be happy, don't worry. That's what we should be like today. Tomorrow you can feel sad or depressed, whatever, but not today. Now, the Feast of Trumpets is a time of dedication. Solomon's temple was dedicated in the seventh month. Second Chronicles chapter 5, verse 12, it says, and the Levites who were the singers, and those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun with their sons and their brethren stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. 120 priests blowing trumpets. You think that made a little noise? And on top of that, you had the harps and the cymbals and the other instruments. Verse 13, indeed it came to pass when the trumpets and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they had lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. They were praising God so much, with so much energy, with so much passion, that he blessed him with his presence and he filled the whole house up, and they couldn't continue. So let me ask you a question. I'm going to go through a few verses up here. Do you do any of this on trumpets? Have you done any of this today? If you haven't, it's not too late. Psalm 89, verse 15. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. It's teruah. That's what today is. Do you know that joyful sound? It's not just the sound blowing a shofar, blowing a trumpet, shouting, announcing. It's done joyfully. Do we know it? Or do we just go through some exercise where we blow or we shout or... they walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all day long, and in your righteousness they are exalted. Psalm 27, verse 6. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy, teruah. In his tabernacle I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Let's have a song when we're done with this. Let's do what it's talking about. Now, this isn't funeral music. This is joyful. This is shouting. This is having fun. If you ain't having fun, you ain't doing it right, okay? Psalm 33, verse 3. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. Teruah. What a shout. You gotta yell it out. Don't be dead. Don't be like the chosen frozen. Frozen chosen. Yeah. Job, chapter 8, verse 21. He will yet fill your mouth with laughing and your lips with rejoicing. Teruah. Showing you how different ways this word, that it's the day of Teruah today, how it's used. Job 33:26. He shall pray to God and he will delight in him. He shall see his face with joy. Teruah. For he restores to man his righteousness. Now, with this day that we're observing today, joy and happiness and excitement is a huge part of it. It's not a day to just sit around. Let's go back to Ezra and Nehemiah. The people were all down. They were depressed. Oh, look how bad we've been. Not today, folks. In fact, it's so important to God that everyone gets to enjoy this day. He tells them, he says, go prepare the way for you know, get some stuff together. Give it to those that don't have anything because they're invited to my party too. This is a party today. When Jesus returns, think about this. What a better day to have a resurrection than on this day. Every year it comes up again. When he returns, the faithful dead are going to be resurrected. God's living servants are going to be changed. And I'm going to admit, it's selfish. But this is really a day that I look forward to. Because first, that's the day that I'm going to finally see the Messiah. I'm going to finally see Jesus. But second, I'll also see other people that I love very deeply that aren't here, that are waiting for his return too. And I'll see some that I love. Say, wow, what happened? You mean you made it? My grandparents wore their knees out. Mary's mother is probably going to be the most shocked of all. She had one Bible verse she quoted ad nauseum at me. Well, I'm not supposed to. I was interested in one thing only, money. And oh, she loved to quote me the verse about what good it would be for me to gain the whole world and lose my soul. Over and over and over, that's the one verse she's hundreds and hundreds of times to me. I can't read it. If I'm reading the Bible, I can't read it without thinking about her. She's probably the most shocked of all. I'll see people that I love that have died. I know that a lot of these are going to be in God's kingdom. I can't wait to see him again. But we all have loved ones. Every one of us. That's the day we get to see them and be with them again. When Jesus returns and resurrects them. You think that's going to be a party? It's not going to be like the day that they had their funeral. When it was sad, it's going to be a day of rejoicing, a day of announcing, a day of jubilee, a party. Jesus describes his return to us. Matthew 24:29, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This is when the trumpet's going to sound, that literally is going to wake the dead. In 1 Corinthians 15:51, it says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. There's this long period of time between Pentecost and trumpets. It's a few months. Just like it's been a long period of time since 30 AD, when Jesus was telling the church these things, and he warned us in the parable of the 10 virgins not to lose faith and think that he wouldn't return. Are we really ready for his return? But most importantly, do you really look forward to it? I remember one year, because my grandpa was on some church boards, and I was at their house, and they did a counterfeit Feast of Tabernacles. They called it a camp meeting. It was in July. And they said they were discussing whether they should plan camp meeting for the following year, because it was so close to Jesus returning, they thought, surely he's got to return before next year. Do we want to put all this time and effort into preparing camp meeting, or do we want to get people ready for his return? And I remember telling him, say, Grandpa, you got to have camp meeting. You got to. I didn't want Jesus to return. I wanted all kinds of stuff to do. I don't know, it was 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there. There was all kinds. I didn't want him coming back and messing my life up. There was too much stuff I wanted to do that I didn't get to do yet. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people, to some extent, maybe they say, oh yeah, we can't wait for his return, but really, not yet. Are we joyful about this? Do we look forward to it? Are we ready to throw a party every year in anticipation of it? Today is trumpets. Let's celebrate. Let's keep this day like we really mean it, like it says we should mean it, and experience it. So what's one way you can do that? Psalm 98:6, it says, with trumpets and the sound of a horn, shout joyfully before the Lord the King. So here's the deal. If you don't have one of the shofars in your hand, there's a whole box of them over there. If you don't have a trumpet, one of the silver trumpets, if you don't have any of that, there's one thing I know everybody here has on them that works, and that's your mouth. Let me read this again. Shout joyfully before the Lord the King. So if you're not going to blow the trumpets, the horns, things like that, you ain't going to sit like a dead bump on a log. You're going to have some fun. And if there's something really so terrible going on that you can't allow yourself to have some fun, tell somebody that you trust. Get some help. Because this is the day that he wants you to, you're invited to his party. He wants you to have a good time. And we got to not, we're going to go outside afterwards and we're going to blow shofars and trumpets out in the parking lot and that. And the last year when we did this, there was people driving down the road, and you could see them with their heads. They're like, what are those crazy people out there doing? They had no clue what was going on. They don't know that today is different from any other day of the year. They don't know that this is the day that they can, you know, do I really think he's coming today? No. According to my reckoning, there's some prophecies got to be fulfilled. But you know what? I could be wrong. There's still a few hours here where he could return. And if it's not this year, we're 1 year closer to when he does return every year. When I look out there, and this is depressing, you look out there, what's going on and what these governments have planned and everything, the technology is there for them to implement their beast system. They can turn it on. The only thing stopping it is the people right now. When they think that they can get away with it, they will do it. I can't go on that much longer. I don't know how much longer. If I put on a guess, guess what? Don't take that date because that'll be wrong, okay? But it's our lifetime. It's short. You know, I've heard all my life, I've heard people talk like this, but there was no way it could have happened up until just recently. The infrastructure wasn't there to support their beast system. It's there today. And pretty soon they're going to take away money and the digital dollar, and then they got complete control over everybody. With trumpets and the sound of a horn, shout joyfully before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar in all its fullness, the world and all those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. It's sort of like them coming to Jesus and saying, control your people. And he said, the rocks will shout out if, you know, they shut up. That's what it should be like today. The sea is clapping. The rivers are clapping. The hills are joyful. Have a joyful sound together before the Lord. Verse 9, for he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world and the people with equity. Now I put this in here from previous years. It went back a few years. And we can get up. And I thought, you know, going through some things in prophecy, the seven trumpets of Revelation, the seven seals, the seven trumpet plagues in Revelation 8, and listening to the trumpets and what they are at 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, I didn't see how that was encouraging and joyful and shouting at a party. It was head knowledge, but it wasn't a party. So don't forget, all of this stuff is going on and it's there. But that's not the point. That's just like a warning so you know it's close. That's not the party. The party is what we can do today, right now. Because it all leads up, like I said down there, Jesus returns, Revelation 19, 11 through 16. The final fulfillments of the trumpets as God's kingdom is established. That's when it's fulfilled. So now, Let's get a song real quick. We'll sing it like we mean it. You guys, I'll pull some up there. You have some input.
I don't know what you're going to do.
That's perfect. We'll do that one. And you can't sit down and do this one unless there's a reason you need to sit down, okay? If you are able to stand and move around and jump up and down and shout, stand up and do it. Don't worry. Nobody's going to accuse you of going Pentecostal and apostolic and all of that other stuff. There'll be no barking like dogs and flopping on the floor, none of that crazy stuff. But we're going to sing it like we mean it. And then let's go out and let's announce to the world.